I'm going to tell you what I've never experienced. I've never witnessed, not one time. I've never been in a service where there's too much praying, ever. When's the last time you spent that much time praying? It ought to challenge our hearts that it is still possible to pray more than 10 or 15 minutes here or there. I'm convinced that prayer moves the hand and heart of God. The Bible says over in the book of James, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due season. We can humble ourselves and deal with pride ourselves without God having to be the one who humbles us and deals with the pride issue in our life. And I've been on both ends of the spectrum. I've been on both sides of the fence of that. I have humbled myself before, but I've also, Brother Bill, I've got so prideful before, and pride is a wicked sin. You know, we just brush by pride like, well, you know, we all got it, we chuckle about it. I'm going to tell you something. God hates pride. He hates it. I believe one of the reasons He hates it so bad is because it's so prevalent. It's everywhere. It had a lot to do, if not almost all to do, with why the devil, Lucifer, tried to ascend and thought he could be God all the way back then. It's still true today. And I'm going to tell you something. Pride is about as bad as you can get. See, we've sort of prioritized sin. Well, this one's bad. This one's worse. This one's the worst. I'm going to tell you, pride is about as bad as you can get. And our churches are full of it. I say churches. Let me just get specific. This church is full of it. Old Gypsy Smith, how many of y'all ever heard of him? Old time preacher in heaven, great man of God. God told him to go home, get in a room, close a door, and get a piece of chalk and draw a circle around him. And he did that. And he was sitting on the floor in a room with the door closed, sitting on the floor with that circle drawn around him. And God said, don't get out of this circle that you drew with that piece of chalk until you've prayed, God send revival, until revival comes and fills that circle. And he laid there and he prayed until God revived him. I don't know if we're going to ever see a nationwide revival again. I don't know. I know our country is headed in the wrong direction to see a nationwide revival. I'm not putting a limit on God. God can do anything. There ain't many churches. We got revival meeting coming up, but there ain't many churches seen a real revival, experienced a real God-sent, Holy Ghost-sent revival. We have a set of meetings, have preachers come in, and I'm all for that. But I'm talking about real revival, a supernatural move of God. That's what we need. You know why we don't have it? What's that great revival verse we all like to, we've all heard preachers preach about and preach from? I've preached from it. So what is it? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall, what's the very first thing God said? Shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then hear from heaven, heal their land, forgive their... we got a pride problem, and we've grown accustomed to it and just learned to live with it. The only problem with that, God never learned to live with sin. He never got to the place where He was all right with sin. Because when He sees our wicked, stinking, nasty pride, let me help us all, it ain't a small thing to Him. He sees His Son nailed to a rugged cross with that pride, the ringing of the hammer that drove the nails into the hands and to the feet of the Son of God, or dripping with pride. Oh, the spear, yeah. I'm just saying pride was partly of what Jesus was paying for when He died on the cross. That's sin. That's sin. So we should never take sin lightly. Amen? So Lord, help us. Lord, help us. We'd deal with that pride problem. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm wanting more than just a fake, phony, same old, same old. I mean, if we're leaving the same way we came, what's the point in coming? Yeah, I mean, we should come expecting to leave changed, challenged, and charged. Well, there was a little alliterated three-word. There you go. Ta-da. But hey, I believe we'd do good just to get a hold of one truth and focus on it, meditate on it, say, oh, God, reveal the pride in me. Pride is like a, most of you probably, and I'm sure there's probably one in here, most of you that have a house you live in, you probably have a carbon monoxide detector. You know why? Because that deadly gas, it's invisible. You can't smell it, you can't see it, but it's lethal. It's deadly. That's why houses and churches and buildings and companies all over the country and the world have those detectors, those alarms. Well, I'm sending an alarm out tonight because pride is as deadly and as toxic and as invisible to yourself as carbon monoxide poisoning it. Listen, we are usually the last person to see pride in our own life. You may say, well, oh, the preacher, boy, he's prideful. Well, I mark that one up. I'll give you that. I'm dealing with it. I'm dealing with it too. Hey, I ain't gonna lie about it, but I ain't okay with it. I ain't okay with it, and you don't need to be. And if it's hidden and weaseled its way into my life and I've learned to live with it, could it be that there's some hanging around you, living in your house, living in your life, and you don't even see it? Lord, help us. Lord, help us. The Holy Spirit of God, I promise, here's a truth for us all. If you want to see it, JD, you asked us to pray. Let me tell you something. You know the first thing that's got to happen in order for you to deal with pride in your life and you to humble yourself? You got to first of all ask God to reveal it to you that it's there. And that's the case with any sin. How many of you have heard this little thought, Steve? A drug addict ain't never going to get help until first he admits he's got a problem. A drunkard's never going to get help until first he realizes he's a drunk. Because if you live in denial, you ain't never going to get no help. Can I help us all? Quit living in denial about your pride problem. You do have one. You say, oh, you talking to me? Why, sure, I am. I'm talking to everybody in here. So here's a promise from the Lord. If you will go to God sincerely, I've never found this to fail. If you'll go to the Lord and say, Lord, it's scriptural, by the way. Say, Lord, search me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Try me. Try me. Try my reins, that innermost part. You say, well, preacher, if I know my heart, I ain't got no sense. You don't know your heart. It's wicked. It's desperately wicked. It'll deceive your own heart. My heart, it'll lie to you. It'll deceive you. It's deceitful above all things, the Bible says. Who can know it? You don't know your heart. You better let the Word of God, and I better let the Word of God tell us, and let the Holy Spirit of God tell us and deal with us, because the devil will deceive us, our flesh will lie to us, our heart will lie to us, and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God is the only reliable source, and we need to go to Him and say, God, here I am, look me over, check all of me, even that back door, even that pet sin of mine that nobody knows about but me and you, and I don't even talk to you about it, I haven't had it so long, I don't even ask you to forgive, mess with that no more, because, you know, how many of you are willing to get honest with God and say, come look around my life, Lord, show me. You don't know something? 90% of our praying is vain repetition that the Lord told us not to do. We ain't no better than the Pharisees. They'd repeat them prayers, same old prayers. You know why? Because before we can ever pray, the Bible said if we regard iniquity in our heart, God won't hear us. And if God ain't hearing us, we might as well get up off our knees. We ain't doing a bit of good. We're wasting time. Until first, you know what the very first thing y'all do when you pray? Say, Lord, search me. See if there be any wicked way in me, Lord. Try me. Lord, check my thoughts, Lord. Check my attitude, Lord. My actions, my words, my deeds. Anything and everything about me that's unbecoming of a child of God, Lord, search me. Reveal it to me. If we go to Him honestly with that heart, the Holy Spirit of God will reprove and rebuke and reveal your sin to you. You don't never. This nonsense that got into the church, I don't know when, way back, way too long ago, about, well, Lord, if I've sinned, let me help you. You have. You don't have to pray. You don't never have to pray that prayer again. Lord, if I've sinned, you have. It ain't, Lord, if I've sinned. It's, Lord, I have sinned. Show it to me. Reveal it to me. So, because when he does, and he will, if you get honest and I get honest, he's faithful to reveal your sin to you. He'll show it to you. He won't be like the devil in the flesh. He won't deceive you and lie to you. He'll be honest about it. Amen. He'll take his word and he'll reprove and rebuke you. By the way, that's what preaching, two-thirds of preaching is reproving and rebuking. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Two-thirds of the preaching is negative. I know people don't want to hear that, but that's the formula God give us. But most people don't want to be reproved and rebuked. They just want to be exhorted. Oh, exhort us, exhort us. Well, we got in on some exhortation Sunday. God exhorted us Sunday, but we're getting down where we're living. Don't you want your life to change? Amen. Don't you want to get closer to God?
Amen.
I mean, we say we want revival. We ain't going to get there until we get willing to get honest before God and say, Lord, I'm tired of living the same old life. I want to get better. I want to get closer. I want to get filled with the Spirit of God. So reveal my sin to me. And when he does, here's the kicker. When he reveals it, then you got to repent of it. And I got to repent of it. That's another word that's almost become a byword. Repentance is still in the book. When he reveals that sin, and when he starts showing it to you, it ain't enough to say, oh, I see it. In Jesus' name, amen. Nothing was accomplished. You got to say, Lord, I see it. Oh, wretched man that I am. Lord, I see it. You revealed it to me, Lord. Now, I'm sorry. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I hate that sin like you do, Lord. Forgive me. Dear Jesus, I repent of that. I turn with every fiber of being in me. I'm turning from that. Now that you forgive me, you revealed it to me. Forgive me for I'm repenting. And that means an about face. It's a military term. Repentance, a 180. That means you turn your back on that and you start walking toward the Lord. We got to get back to daily repenting, many times a day repenting.
Amen.
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 Amen. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Hey, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to us. I need it as much or more than anybody here. Let me just give you this one verse, and then we're leaving. John 12:21. The saying came, therefore, to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. I was going to preach this evening on the subject, we would see Jesus. Let me tell you something. You get in your prayer closet and get honest before the Lord. Let him reveal some sin in your life. Be willing to repent of it. You'll start seeing Jesus a whole lot clearer, a whole lot closer. Sir, we would see Jesus. Would to God. Hey, would to God that'd be our honest desire that we would see Jesus. Not just at church on Sunday, but I mean down at the house, on the job, at the school. Our kids need to see Jesus in us. Amen. Amen. All right, let's stand together.